We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Mr.
Bond. James Bond.
Mr. Bond.
I'm Anita Horgoth.
Buck melanoma. Molly Russell's wart.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
The Force is with you, young Skywalker. But you are not a Jedi yet.
I am Hans.
And I am Franz, and we just want to pop.
Hello, Clarice.
Dr. Lecter, my name is Clarice Starling. May I speak with you?
I'm Batman.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, Commander of the Armies of the North, General of the Felix Legions, loyal servant to the true Emperor, Marcus Aurelius. Father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Dr. Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
You're putting me on.
No, it's pronounced Frankenstein.
Do you also say Froedwick?
No, Frederick.
Well, why isn't it Froedwick Frankenstein?
It isn't, it's Frederick Frankenstein.
I see.
You must be Igor.
No, it's pronounced Igor.
But they told me it was Igor.
Well, they were wrong then, weren't they?
There are names. And then there are names, and there are introductions, then there are introductions. Today we're going to talk about names, and we're going to talk about introductions. Now, some of the names were quite bizarre that you've heard. For example, really, Maximus? Okay. Some of you know people that have odd names. I have a friend that I will never forget his name, nor will I ever forget his introduction. I was in Van, Texas. That tells you how long ago it was. And after church one Sunday, this young man, large young man, walked up to me with his beautiful wife and introduced himself and said, "Hi, my name is Rope Myers." Anyone ever hear of Rope Myers? He was a national champion rodeo guy, okay? And I looked at him, I said, "Rope, I gotta be honest, you're the only Rope I've ever met." And he laughed and he said, "Well, I got a brother named Ty and a sister named Cash." And I wrote, "That's a little odd. His daddy, Butch Myers, was a national champion bull rider, and you know the guys who jump off the horse and tie the. And his line was, "Well, in my world, you have to rope the calf, tie the calf, then you get the cash." Odd names, strange introductions. We all have them. We all know them. I want you to take a moment and stand, and I want you to greet one another and share with each other an odd name that you know or a memorable introduction. Go ahead. Bring it back, have a seat. Bring it back, have a seat. No one's listening, but that's okay. Bring it back. Is this even on, John? Is it on? There you go. Go ahead. Now, anyone have an odd name or memorable introduction that they like to share? Anyone? Yes, ma'am. What now? Say, stand up. Two aunts.
Wintha
Musette.
And Telva
Marcy. Wow. Someone at the 8 o'clock told me that they were working in a hospital and they kept hearing them refer to this one doctor, Doctor Doctor. And all I could think about was a Harry Nilsson song, Doctor Doctor. Anyhow. And the guy's last name was really Doctor, and so he went by Doctor, Doctor. I know, it's terrible. Denise?
My middle name is Daiva.
Daiva? Why? Daiva. Okay, I'll buy that. Buy that. Some of those celebrities' kids, they have weird names, right? Right? George Lucas, they named their kid Everest. I have no idea why. Right? Someone laughed at me because I didn't know that Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman were even like a pair, and I just got ridiculed out of open skies. And they named their daughter Sunday. Like, what is up with that? Every once in a while, the name works. Like this guy, his name is Prince Rogers Nelson, or it was, until he decided to change it to artist formerly known as Prince, and then before he died, he decided to go back to Prince. So sometimes the names work, sometimes the names don't. Your aunt's Melissa name will never work. I can't even make sense of it. But today we're going to talk about names and we're going to talk about introductions. And we're going to use the same passage that we used last week out of Isaiah chapter 9 when Isaiah is writing to people who are in the darkness. And he says, those of you who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. And if you remember last week, if you were here, those people were going through some pretty difficult times. They needed a word of hope. They needed a promise that they weren't going to be left alone. And so what Isaiah does is he gives them that promise. And he says, for unto you, do we have the scripture? There you go. For a child has been born for us, a son is given. And he shall be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, if you were here last week, I told you that this is not how Mary called Jesus. Mary did not stand there at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and yell, hey, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor, time for dinner. That's not what she did. These were names in the understanding of the Hebrew understanding of names. They were not labels like us. When we use our name, it is a label. In the Hebrew world, names mean something. names were important. And what they generally were kind of like job descriptions for what God would do through that person, right? For example, anybody know what Joshua means? Yahweh saves. Isaiah, the guy who wrote the book, means the Lord has brought salvation. Those names are better than what Isaiah named his second child. Anybody pronounce that? Mahashalah Hashbaz, which means the kid's going to get beat up every day in middle school. I just wanted to throw that in because I thought that was an odd name. Names meant something. And in the Hebrew world, they often meant what God was going to do through those people. And so when some people read Isaiah's text and it reads, "He shall be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God," what they think he's doing is following the Hebrew tradition. And what they will tell you is, well, this child, who we know is Jesus, this child, he's going to have God's power in him in such a way that it's going to be evident for all to see. And that's fine, except that's not exactly what the Bible says. You see, Isaiah gives us a better clue than that. If you jump back a couple of chapters to chapter 7 in Isaiah, you get this verse. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The young woman is with child. She shall bear a son, and she'll name him Emmanuel." Leave that up for a second. And you and I know Emmanuel means God with us. Now, I want you to focus on the last two letters of L, of Emmanuel, the E-L. Anybody know what the E-L means? It's a Hebrew word for God. Sometimes it's at the end of the word, like in Emmanuel, or like Bethel. Bethel is Bethel, house of God. Sometimes the L is in front of it, of the name, and it gives you so that you would have an understanding what God is like. Like El Shaddai means God Almighty. El Roi means the God who sees me. Now, what with all of that, what Isaiah does here, when he writes Mighty God, he uses this term, El Gabor. Mighty God. And he predicts that this child, this one that is being given, will have power and will have the strength of God Almighty. But it's not just a job description. For Isaiah, because of the El Gabor, he is telling the people, this isn't someone who's just going to have power. This is God. This child is God himself. This is the one. This is the creator of the universe. And see, and what I would say to you is that the true miracle of Christmas is that the world was introduced to its creator face to face. Now, that's quite the introduction, right? I mean, think about it. I mean, you think the introduction on Batman is big. That's nothing compared to this. Because what Isaiah is telling to a group of Hebrew people who believe in one God, who believe in the Yahweh, and that is it, right? And what he's telling them is soon, one day, there will be one who is given to us, and it's going to be a child, and that person is going to be God himself. Now that's huge. And in any introduction, if the person doesn't live up to the introduction, who cares? I mean, if this mighty God thing was just wishful thinking or something that sounded very classy and very clever, it wouldn't make a difference. But because Isaiah was serious about this, and he wanted us to know that this child, this is the mighty God. It matters. And we can see Christmas in a different light. And if you look at Jesus' life, you will see that understanding of power and mighty God throughout his life. It started at his conception. Remember the conversation? The angel comes to Mary and says, "You shall have a child." And Mary says, "What? How can this be?" Right? And the angel says this, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." The power. You flip over a few chapters in chapter 4, verse 14, Luke tells us at the beginning of his public ministry, Luke tells us that the power of the Spirit was on Jesus, and he returned to Galilee. Then if you look at the healing stories, the blind are able to see, the deaf are able to hear, the lame are able to walk. There's even those stories of Jesus raising people from the dead. That is power. He tells the Gospels tell a story about one day when there was a storm, remember that? And the disciples were so afraid, and he just said to the storm, "Cut it out!" Now, anyone here ever get frustrated with the weather? Right? Anybody ever complain it's too hot? Too cold? Ramsey, when you're about ready to play golf, if it's pouring rain, do you get all mad and go out to the rainstorm and say, "Hey, stop raining," do you? Does it listen? No. But when Jesus was with the disciples and the waves are crashing over the boat, he just says, "Stop." And it stops. That's power. If you go to another story, and I love this one, Jesus goes in this village and he's teaching and he's healing, right? And the people freak out. And they say, "You are too powerful for us. Would you please leave?" The entire village are intimidated by his power. And they ask him to leave. And then there's a story in John's gospel. This is brilliant, right? Jesus goes into the temple and he cleans it out because it's all corrupt and all that stuff. And he gets in this debate, this theological debate with the religious leaders and those that are in authority. And he begins telling them that all those prophecies, those are me. He says, "You know, everything that the Old Testament points to, they're talking about me." Right? And the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they lose their mind. And finally, in desperation, they kind of yell at him, "Who do you think you are?" Right? And then Jesus says this in the 8th chapter. This is what he says. He says, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." Did you catch what he said? Before Abraham, I am. Now, what Jesus did, whether you know it or not, is he took a title that is reserved only for God and the Jewish faith, and he took it himself. Remember the story? Moses is having an argument with the burning bush, and the burning bush finally wins, and Moses says, "Okay, if I go, you know, who do I tell him sent me?" And the bush said, "I am." And in that story, Jesus is saying, before creation, I am. When there was nothing, I am. When the stars were being placed in the sky, I am. I am that God. Now, that's power. I had this discussion with this friend of mine. He was a Muslim, and we would have these discussions, and one day the whole thing kind of came to a head, right? And he finally said, we were talking about power, and he said, "Look, Marty, my problem with the Christian faith is that your founder, this Jesus, he was captured, he was beaten, he was crucified, That's not power. But my founder, Muhammad, he evaded being captured. He was never crucified. That's power. The only thing I could say is, yeah, he was crucified. But 3 days later, we believe he showed the power with the resurrection. That's power. And the child that Isaiah is talking about is that child with that power. And that child with that power entered into our world. And because of that, everything has changed. Ray Ortland, an author, he writes these words. He says, God's answer to everything that has ever terrorized us is a child. His answer to the bully swaggering through history is not to become a bigger bully, but to give us his son. This child breaks into the world, and it is a reminder that no matter what we're going through, we are not alone. Now, John Ortberg, in one of his books, tells a story, and it's a movie, it's about a movie that came out in 1988, and I just want to go on record saying, I have not seen it, I will never see it. It is called The Bear. Anybody see it? Main reason why I won't go see it, it has like 10 lines of dialogue, and I would go crazy, right? I'm not good at that sort of, it's the ADD, whatever that I have. But it's this great story, and I watched the climax of the movie on YouTube, and you can Google it, and you can see it, and it's really pretty cool. Anyhow, it's about this cub whose mother dies, and somehow, some way, a big old Kodiak bear kind of adopts his cub and begins to raise the cub as his own and teaches him how to survive in a world that he's not really prepared to survive in, teaches him how to catch food, teaches him how to protect himself, teaches him to rise up on his hind legs and show terror, teaches him to scratch his back on a tree, and you know all those things that bears have to learn somehow, and this is what the Kodiak bear teaches them. And apparently, through the movie, and I didn't see this part because this isn't the climax, there's this mountain lion that is always being shown, kind of stalking the cub, waiting for his moment. And finally, the moment comes, and the cub is alone. And this is the part of the movie I watch. The cub is alone. And you see this mountain lion, and he's kind of walking up to the cub. And you just, the mountain lion has that look on his face that he's about to pounce, and you just know this isn't going to end well, right? About to spoiler alert you, all right? So the little cub does what he was taught to do. He gets on his hind legs, and he puts out his claws, and he wants to let out this big roar, right? But he's just a little cub, and so it's kind of like this little squeak comes out. And the mountain lion doesn't flinch. Then all of a sudden the camera goes real close onto the mountain lion's face, and this look comes over him, and next thing you know, the mountain lion just quietly sneaks away. And the camera fades, pulls back, and what the cub never knew, we now know that standing behind the cub was the Kodiak bear on its hinds, claws ready, to destroy and kill anything that would hurt the cub. Now, that is a cheesy, corny movie. But that's the gospel. That's the Christmas story. That's the heartbeat of the promise that Isaiah makes to the people who are walking in darkness. See, we don't have some big old Kodiak bear standing behind us. We have El Gabor, a mighty God. And he's not only behind us, but he's walking in front of us. Like I tell you guys all the time, most of you, I don't know what's really going on in your life. You know, church people like to act like they have it all together. But I know better. I was watching last night, Matt. There's a lot of joy, a lot of laughter in here, right? And people were singing, clapping. But when you looked out over the congregation that was here, there was people who, they were faking it. You could see it in their face. They wanted to be joyful. They wanted to see the light. But they're in the darkness. Things were just going on in their lives, and I'll never know what they are. But, well, and you could tell. I heard it said one time, and I wish I could take credit for it. Maybe I can take credit for it. I said one time, God doesn't always calm my storms, but he always calms my fears. You see, that's the God we have. Because let's be honest, sometimes things just don't work out, do they? People we love, no matter how much we pray, we still end up standing at their grave wondering how are we going to get through the next day. We put our name on a prayer list and we have hundreds and thousands of people praying for us and we're praying that the medical tests change and the results change and things work out better than they're going to work out. And we get to the doctor and they say there's nothing really we can do. Sometimes our resume just looks perfect, right? But we still can't find the job. Sometimes there just isn't enough money to pay the bills, and we wonder how we're going to even think about having Christmas. Sometimes those relationships, we go to counseling, we work at it, we read all the books, we do all the things, and those relationships still fall apart. Sometimes our storms don't get calm. I know that. That's why if you're walking in darkness, there's a different light. For a child is given to you. A child is born to you. And he just doesn't have a title called Mighty God. He is Mighty God. And not only is he with you, so that you'll never be alone, he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's power. And maybe this Christmas, if you're walking in darkness, I can't fix the darkness. But maybe if you breathe, take a moment and look at things in a different light, maybe then you'll hear a word of hope that you're not alone. That El Gabor, Mighty God, is with you. And maybe that will change everything. Maybe. We can do pictures of the beard. We're going to post them. Did you get any? Yeah, we'll post some pictures. You can see it. You saw the hair, you'll see the beard. But if you came last night, thank you for being here. And if you participated with your voice or your musical ability, wow, you guys are amazing. Thank you. Did Barbara announce about the new Sunday school class starting during 6? I'm just going to tell you, if you want to blame someone for my preaching, go watch that video and blame that guy. Because I used to preach really differently, and then I kind of got exposed to him and my whole style. Now I preach like 45 minutes. I used to preach 5 minutes. It's amazing. So I hope you'll pay attention to that. And if you don't have a Sunday school class, show up. Did I leave anything out? Okay. Then would you hold hands with those folks who are around you? Oh, yeah. We are together next week because of Christmas Eve. Even though Christmas Eve is Monday, it's a long story. You don't want to hear it. You want to go eat, right? If you want to hear it, just stick around. I'll tell it to you. But we're going to have a great service next week, and it's going to be Everlasting Father. Should be pretty fun. So with that, would you receive this benediction? And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing, that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but and can you imagine for a moment what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? You'd have a pretty good day. Take care. God bless, and we'll see you next week.